Hear the words from Luke 2:21 through 38. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for the purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem.
In the old days, when they would, in order to be reconciled with the Lord, they would bring sacrifices to the temple. It had things like goats and lamb, mainly lamb. Or if you were poor, you might get pigeons, but you had something to bring as a sacrifice. And they would kill the animals for a sacrifice. We don't have to do that anymore because Jesus came, and when he came, he was the lamb. And when he died on the cross, that was the final sacrifice. And we have no need to bring sacrifices. And I'm very glad about that. Very thankful for that. So the invitation to come to the table is simply this. You who earnestly and truly repent of your sins, come. And you can come with a free heart and an open heart. You don't come as perfect people. The perfect people all get to come first. Anybody? The perfect people are not here. But you come repenting of your sins, knowing that, you know, it is not by my own might which I save myself. It is by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to me, and he came to teach me, but he came mostly to sacrifice himself for me, so that I might be once again reconciled. You know what reconciled means? Entangled to, tied to, part of God Almighty. So that's the invitation. All you who have problems, come. All you who have issues, come. All who, you know, admit you have issues and just say, "Lord, have mercy and compassion on me," you're welcome to come. Those who think more highly of themselves than they are really not able to come. You're not eligible to come. Because your own righteousness does not make you eligible to partake of the communion. But your humility and your acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as your Savior makes you eligible. While I think about that, I think of the Gloria Patri. We used to sing it. I'm going to say it here. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without what? End. Amen and amen. As I think about these two people that Christy read about, they are part of the Christmas story. a part that we don't really do much, because when we put on a Christmas pageant, no question about it, we end the pageant with the birth of Christ, and that's all good. But the pageant does not end there. There is a celebration that starts to take place. Now, when you think about people who were pro-Christmas and anti-Christmas, and I'm not talking about people out here now, but if you think about in the time of Christ, you know, who kind of rejected this whole notion? Well, we see Pilate did and Herod did. Caesar didn't even know about it, you know. And they sort of rejected this notion. They pushed away, you know, what could be. We see other people who may have done that. Maybe some of the people who were religious leaders at least when Jesus got a little older. But we also see people who embrace the coming of Christ. And two of those people are Simeon and Anna. Now think about Simeon. You know what the scripture says, what Christy read there? It says very little about Simeon, but we know this. He was just and devout, waiting on the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon them. So those are three things we know about this guy. Here he was. He had been waiting. Now, I was asking, Brandon and I were talking about Christmas gifts a few minutes ago, what we might get and so forth, and what we'll do if we get it and, you know, play with it. And you know how that goes, especially when you're younger. It's kind of like, okay, I don't want to go, so I'm ready to play now. It's playtime because you want to enjoy what you got. We get a train set. I want to enjoy the thing. And so we sometimes fail to enjoy. But after Jesus was born and he went to the temple to be dedicated, so to speak, and he goes in there in the days of circumcision and dedication, and there he is in the temple, and Simeon recognizes the child and says, "This is he. I have not been wanting stuff so that I can have joy. I don't want stuff so I can have toys to play with. I want this child to be here in order to ransom the people for which I've been praying. My people are in bondage. I want them to be set free." And so this characteristic of Simeon, I hope it would be true of us, just and devout. Sometimes I'm not so just and sometimes I'm not so devout. I tell you, I don't know if you were out Friday. If anybody was out Friday, if anybody was within 4 miles of my house Friday, you were not just and you weren't devout. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. And the traffic was everywhere. And that old line in the song, "Gee, the traffic is terrific." Yes. it was really bad. And sometimes God calls us to do something that's very difficult. And this is what Simeon was doing. You know what Simeon was doing? Waiting. He was waiting. It will happen. I'm waiting. You know, we've talked about the second coming of Christ, and we wait for the second coming. On Christmas, when children are involved, there comes present time and there's waiting. You know, "Oh, you were going to make us eat first? Oh, come on." Yeah. And you know how that goes. There's waiting. As adults, you know, it's just an old habit. As a child, it's like, when are they going to finish? When is it going to be time? I remember we would open presents some on Christmas Eve, and then we would have Santa Claus would bring stuff for Christmas morning. But on Christmas Eve, we'd go to communion and we'd have a dinner, and then we had to put the dishes away at least. Are you kidding me? Come on, let's clean up. Hurry it up in there, you know. Because waiting is very difficult. But Simeon was waiting. And I wonder if we might just go to the Lord in prayer over the next few days and wait upon the Lord. As we approach years, wait on Him. "Let your servant depart in peace. Jesus has come. I can go in peace now. I can die in peace. And I'm looking forward to dying in peace because the Savior has come." That's all I want in life. That's all Simeon wanted in life. And then what he does, he turns around and he blesses the Lord and blesses Joseph and Mary. But then I think about Anna. Her name was Anna. She was a prophetess of the tribe of Asher. And we know she was older. She was 84. And we see a little bit about her marriage there. And she was also a person that had been waiting. And she had been wanting to hear and wanting to see the thing which the Lord was going to bring about. And I think about it says there that she was in the temple serving every third Tuesday. No, it doesn't say that. Every day, night and day, praying and serving. You know, we are men and women who follow Jesus Christ, not on Sundays, but every day. 24/7 we follow Christ. When we get in the traffic, and yeah, we may even lose our patience every now and then, we still are following Christ. When we come to a worship service, we follow Christ. When we go through the hard times of life, we follow Christ. We are part of Christ. You can't get rid of us. I remember David Jeremiah years ago, he said something that stuck with me. He said, I told my wife early on, or no, it was Adrian Rogers. He said, if you ever leave me, he said, you know, if you decide you just had enough and you leave me, I want you to know that I'm going with you. And I thought about that, you know, you can't get rid of me. I'm here. I'm like a bad penny. You can't get rid of me. And Christy sometimes likes alone time, and you know I'm like, let's go together. She said, that's great, you know. And I don't, you know, but you know, not as a permanent thing, but you know, we like to be together, and we like that togetherness. And I think about how that Anna was there, and Anna, you couldn't get rid of Anna because she was a servant day and night. She served day and night, morning, noon, and night. She served. And you know, she spent as much time as possible praying. You know, prayer is the lifeblood of the church. Prayer is the lifeblood of your Christian life because it keeps you connected with the Lord. And so look at the outline here. I'm going to mention three things quickly. We have this motivation for praise. And I hope you're motivated to praise the Lamb of God. I hope you're motivated to praise. We all know how to praise. We all know how to get enthusiastic about things. It may be when a basketball team scores a basket, or it may be when you open that perfect Christmas gift, or, you know, if you, you know, Bill, we were talking, I said, yeah, I'm having ribs for lunch, and then, you know, Bill's all enthusiastic about that. You know, enthusiastic on my behalf. He's not going to be there. Isn't it nice of him to be like that? But you have motivations of praise. Now, let's look at three of those that I've mentioned there. They were motivated because it was God in the flesh. In John 1, we read this. In Philippians 2, we read about this. I won't go to the passages now. But it was God in the flesh. And they were motivated to praise because it was not just a baby. It was God in the flesh. And, you know, that is a motivation for us to know the Lord. We know Him. He has not left us alone, but yet He has made Himself known to us. And I love when people make themselves known to us. I love to hear my name, Andy, because it means somebody knows me. Brandon, somebody knows you. And it's a beautiful thing to hear. He knows you. And because He knows you, we see that, you know, in this sense, He was made God in flesh. He's also the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God is significant. Now, we've been talking about the Lamb of God. We think of lamb as this, you know, cute little fuzzy animal. And some of you have been out to the petting farms, and there they are, and they're all cleaned up, you know. If you go over to Scotland, and they roam around, you know, woo, you know, and you get that. But if you take a lamb is the, you know, the newborn sheep, and you pick it up. It's like holding a puppy. You ever had a puppy or a kitten? What do? With them? You hold them, they crawl all over you. As soon as they get too big, you said, hold on, don't get on me. Stephen's little dog is the best trained dog I've ever seen in my life. This dog, I can't tell you. He goes out in the morning and he waits all day in the house with no, and he's just there all day and waiting dutifully when they come home in the evening to go out for the second. I mean, this is just a tremendous dog. He loves everybody except for one person. I will not mention that person's name, but he's standing up here. I think when they moved to their new house, I went to the back door to bring something in, and I think he thinks I'm an intruder to this day. But you know, dogs are fun, but you have the dogs and you hold them. A lamb was, yes, probably used as pets, but the lamb was to be taken and sacrificed. Now, I've never been to a slaughterhouse. I've been to a processing place where they process deer, but never to a big slaughterhouse. But, you know, it's a cruel thing they do. I say cruel. It's just part of life. But, you know, the way they slaughter the animals. And you can imagine taking a lamb, the best lamb, and taking it and cutting the lamb's neck and putting it on the fire. And how that would be no fun from a number of viewpoints. Number one, this is money I'm giving away, you know, because most of the animals that were used in that day were not used necessarily to eat, but for profit. Use them to get, you know, that's my livelihood. But he was the Lamb of God, and he came to be sacrificed for us. A third thing there, this baby, he was the only Savior of sinners and the only way to God. You see the scriptures there. Jesus says, I am the, we've done it many times, way. I am the way. I'm the only way to the Father. If you get me, you get the Father. If you miss me, you miss the Father. And he was talking to people, the Pharisees especially. And the Pharisees were the best. It was not that they weren't good. They were the best. They were the most righteous. They were absolutely straight as an arrow. They adhered to the laws. I mean, they had them, and they did really well. They were the best of the best. And he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you can have no part of my kingdom. And guess what? Your righteousness cannot exceed that of the Pharisees. But Jesus, as the Lamb, will give you His righteousness, which obviously exceeds it all. And the second thing in this outline here, we think about this description of the praise, and we see it there. We see visible praise, we see verbal praise, and I like everything we see there from both Simeon and Anna. They said things. You know, I can imagine them doing a happy dance. I don't know what your happy dance is. If you have a happy dance. But you know, when something good happens, whoo, you give a little jig or you give a fist pump or a high five, whatever you do, you can imagine them doing a happy dance. Simeon didn't just see Jesus and rejoice with his heart. He opened his mouth and started praising the Lord. We sing these songs not just to sing. And by the way, we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels in just a few minutes. Maybe the greatest hymn ever written. If not, it's in the top five. Of course, you know, if you pin me down, I can't come up with one. But you think about that hymn, Hark as the Angels Sang. We sing that the King has been born. And so Simeon opened his mouth. And it was a vocal, visible praise. And I think of all through Scripture, you know, in Psalm 51, then I will teach my transgressors my ways, and sinners shall be converted. In other words, I will speak, and sinners will be converted. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, it says in Psalm 107. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus said, suffer this person to come unto me. And you go home and you start to share. You share. Even Jesus, as he departed, remember what he said? You shall be my witnesses in Birmingham and Jefferson County and Alabama and the United States and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's not a direct quote, but it's pretty close. You will be my witnesses with your mouth and with your, you know, life as well. That brings me to the third and final thing. The ministry of the Lamb's praise. In other words, what happened? What happened? In an eternal change comes from praising the Lamb. I want to make this clear. A principle in Scripture is this. God works and is delighted. He works in you and is delighted with you when you praise Him. I will praise Him. I will lift my voice in praise. I will lift His name on high. In verses 28 and 38 of this passage in Luke 2, we see that the Lord's name was lifted up. I'd like to read those verses again. In verse 28, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And I think about that. My eyes have seen your salvation. And we keep going on down to verse 28. He took him in his arms and he blessed God. Go down to verse 38. Again we see, and coming up to the very hour, she began to give thanks to God. So we see your name, thanks to God, bless God. Have you ever thought about being a blessing to God? We get in our minds at times that God needs nothing. He's like the rich man at Christmas. Needs nothing. He's like, you know, you've got that one person in your family. You can't, there's just nothing. They need nothing. But you know what they like is they like your presence. The Lord needs nothing but wants all of you. The Lord delights in your presence. He delights in your praise. Lord, we today lift your name. We lift your holy name. And finally, when I think about the ministry of this lamb, the saints were even edified. I think about Mary and Joseph being edified. It said in Scripture there, as you know, they heard the words, there was a delight in their heart. Look at verse 33 there. His father and mother marveled at what had been said. They were extremely interested in what had been said. They were excited about what had been said. Don't you like somebody to say something nice about people that you know, or maybe even children of yours? I do. Good stuff. Yeah, it's better than bad stuff. Yeah, good stuff, you know. And they delighted. They marveled at this. But more importantly than that, as we get ready to come to the table, we know that sinners are evangelized. Again in verse 38, and coming up to the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She came out. You can imagine this 84-year-old lady. I have good news for you. There has been a child born, and he is the one who has come to save you from your sins. Wouldn't it be marvelous that the world heard us say a message like that? I can tell you that I was blind, and now I see. I was lost and undone, but I have been found. And I have been found by the righteousness of the Lord. When Jesus was born, heaven was excited. Angels came down and shared the message with the poor shepherds. The men heard and the praise of the angels, and they went to see for themselves. They met Jesus and came away praising his name again. Praise happens when you meet Jesus. Praise happens when you come to know him. Praise happens automatically when you see that you were on a course that was headed for utter destruction, separation from God, hell, a place so apart from God you can't even imagine. But God said, I want to break in and I want to bring you and you and you unto myself. I want you to have a way. I will not let Satan win this one. I will pay the price for Adam and Eve's sin. And that price will be the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. I will send my only Son. John 3:16 says it clear, right? You know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Sometimes it's tough during these times. It was tough yesterday as I was standing there talking with Perry Granberry. And there's Jonathan and Riley celebrating Christmas with us, but not with us physically. They've gone to that place. And it's a tough thing. It is a tough thing. That will not make it easy. But I tell you what, I praise the name of the Lord that we have the hope, the promise, and the security and the assurance of what he came to give us. Praise the name of the Lord. As we come to the table, we will come and we will bring everything that we have, all of our hang-ups, all of our questions, all of our sorrows, all of our happiness, yes. We bring all that to him. He cares, and he cares for you. We're going to sing a song in a moment, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and then we'll have a prayer, a Christmas blessing, and then have a dialogue, benediction, closing. But I'd like for you to know, as you go from this place, that I love you. I care for you, and I have no love and care of my own, but it's all because of the Lamb of God. And I pray that the Lord would bless you and bless your house. And I ask you to be thankful in your heart as he does.
Lord, in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may it be in their hearts. May they know the mercy of you. May they understand the compassion that you have for them. And Lord, we thank you above all gifts that we are given for the grace which is sufficient for us. Thank you that you are our salvation. And we worship you and we praise you. Thank you for reconciling us unto yourself. Bless each person here. Pour out your Spirit. Help them to be invigorated, full of life, full of the Spirit of God, which brings life. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's read this dialogue together as our closing benediction. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.